I want to show you a quick video tonight. The title of the message is called The Art of Waiting. It's not very easy, I can tell you that from experience. But I want to show you a small video tonight. I'm not the owner of it, so here's the disclaimer. I think it was produced in April of 2011 by a company called Globe and Mail. I'm not sure. I think it was a podcast. It's called theglobeandmail.com. They own the video. But there's more than one. So it's good if you were to go on YouTube and look for, search the terms, the marshmallow test. Okay? If you go on YouTube, look for the marshmallow test. Go ahead.
The marshmallow test is a really great way to show how children delay gratification. We tried it out with the four children we've been following since September 2010, Alfie, Millie, Mackay, and Pratmesh. Here's how it works. We had each child on their own sit at the table at a desk with a plate and one marshmallow. They could either choose to eat the marshmallow, the one marshmallow right then and there, or they could wait until I came back into the room and have two marshmallows. I left them alone in the room for 15 minutes. Take a look.
Say.
The marshmallow test has been used for decades by psychologists. It's been used with children to predict later academic success, including literacy, SAT scores, and other academic outcomes. There's no definitive answers from the marshmallow test. It's not a matter of passing or failing. What we're looking for is whether children can really resist this piece of white candy sitting in front of them that's sweet, that, you know, the smell of it, the allure of the marshmallow. In Pratmesh's case, we really saw this added curiosity because he had never actually tasted a marshmallow before. All of the children managed to show some level of self-control and resist the temptation to eat the whole marshmallow. As you can see from the footage, you can catch a glimpse into children's ability to control their impulses. This ability, which is developed around the time of kindergarten, can be linked to other outcomes later in life. At the end, the marshmallows were in kind of different states. Some had been squished, ripped apart, nibbled around. There was this temptation and there was this impulse to kind of try it out.
You know, it's always good to watch a video like that because kids can be very funny. And the whole test was about instant gratification or can you wait? Now, here's the deal. They had this very tempting piece of candy, which, by the way, I've got Whoppers if anybody's interested in. Very tempting piece of candy in front of them. And all that sugary goodness is sitting there just a hand reach away. And the woman says, hey, if you wait till I come back, you'll get two. You know, double the prize, right? But I like to see the children to struggle as they try to hold back. Because what they weren't told was how long to wait. They weren't told. And I was concerned about this message until Eddie preached on Job. Okay, well, after that, I thought, okay, this might, you know, go right up against what he was talking about. So self-gratification is, or instant gratification is probably the more proper term, is the thing that we all have to wrestle against, not just children. Why do you think it's called fast food every time we go out to McDonald's or anywhere else for takeout and whatnot? It's fast food for a reason, because we don't want to cook. We want instant food, and oftentimes we don't get it made the way we want to get it made. Oh boy, I could tell you some stories on that. But the fact is, instant gratification has become the norm almost. Okay, if you see something, if it's something you want, you're going to go ahead and either make that purchase or grab that piece of candy. I was explaining earlier that certain types of candy, I can eat it and it'll curb my sugar cravings. But then you put other types of candy out there in front of me and it's like there's no end. I just can't stop. You know, I don't want to stop. And I just want to keep just stuffing my mouth. But the thing is, it's that instant or gratification that seems to overwhelm us. And we want it now. So even when you relate it to prayer, we want it now. We don't like it when God tells us in His way, sometimes it's just by silence, that you're not going to get it right now. Hold on. Wait. Well, grown-ups aren't much better at it. I won't mention any names, but some members of families cannot wait until the day of, say, the birthday or Christmas to give out the gifts. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod. I'm not going to mention any names. But some people in our families just cannot wait to give you that gift on Christmas. And it drives them crazy when somebody like myself says, no, I want to wait till Christmas. And it drives them nuts. They can't stand it. For whatever reason, they're more excited about the gift than I am. You know, as a hypothetical, okay? As a hypothetical. But it's that instant gratification to do whatever it is you want to do that's very tempting. And we look at this and we see kids and we say, oh yeah, of course, kids, you know, they don't understand what it means to wait for something. You know, we, as we've been growing up, and all of us are at different stages in our life, but growing up, it was, I don't know how old you were when you got your first car. You know, some of us, I had an old clunker. Traded an old clunker for another old clunker, and I rode around in that for a couple of years. Transmission slipped. And eventually, after I got married, I was able to get a used car. Well, man, it was years before I ever bought my first brand new off-the-lot car. Years. Years before I did that. And then, boy, was I glad the payment was over. When I got it paid off, I was ever so glad that it was over. But so here now, you might be thinking, well, where's he going with this? Okay, in Isaiah's time, the people were in captivity. The Israelites were in captivity. And you understand that they were in captivity for years. But the prophets kept saying how the Lord was going to deliver them. When, Lord? When? I mean, a lot of times, even in David's Psalms or other people's Psalms, it would say, how long, O Lord, will it take for you to answer my prayer? Or will you hear me? How long will my enemies overcome me? How long will I suffer, Lord, for your name's sake? And even in Revelation, do you remember the souls under the altar? What was it they said? How long, O Lord? You know, that was their question too. How long before you take vengeance upon? And what did he do? He gave him a robe and a crown and told him to just wait for a while. Well, that word for a while or soon always means something different to people than others. And so Isaiah is prophesying that the Lord is going to deliver you in a mighty way. So Isaiah is looking forward to the day of Israel's redemption. Life has been very hard on Israel, okay? And a lot of it is their own fault. Just like we get our own selves in situations, we don't mean to, but we do. We get ourselves in situations, and then we run to God. God, help deliver me from this situation, and then he does. Oftentimes, he delivers us from it. And then what do? We go right back and get ourselves in another situation. And it's this constant back and forth. We're coming back to God, deliver me from this, and then going back and doing something else. Israel was doing that with, they would turn to God, stay with him for a while, and then they would go back to idols, worship idols, and then God would forsake them, get them captured, you know, and somebody would take over the Israelites, and then they would cry out to God, and God would hear their cry, and he would send a person to deliver them, and back and forth it went. Just like on the shampoo bottle, what does it say? It said, rinse and repeat. That's why sometimes it's hard to stop shampooing your hair. You got to rinse and repeat over and over and over. You'll get it when you leave here. But anyway, rinse and repeat. So the fact is, the Israelites had difficulty waiting on God, just like we have difficulty waiting on God. And I want to read for you about four verses that apply. So after letting them know that God is going to deliver them, this is how he ends that chapter in chapter 40. So in verse 28, he says this. He goes, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not or fainteth not, neither is he weary? In other words, don't you know God doesn't get tired? He doesn't get weary. There is no searching of his understanding. We can't understand what God's up to. There's no searching that. Verse 29. For he gives power to the faint, or the weary, you could say there. He gives power to the faint. And to them who have no might, no strength, he increases their strength. Verse 30. Even the youths, okay, people who should be in their prime of their life, strong, and oftentimes they seem to know everything, right? Youths, your children seem to know a lot more than you when they reach a certain age. And as a friend of mine once said, and I've grown to collect that for myself, he said, as I got older, I found out my parents got smarter. You'll get that one too. But he learned that. He learned it the hard way. But even the youths shall faint or become weary. Well, and it says, and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. In other words, it's going to really zap them. Because it's difficult for them to wait on the Lord. It's difficult for us. But here's the key verse, and this is the one I want to keep up there. Go to verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, say that verse with me. But they that wait upon the Lord, that's the group he's talking about right there. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You see, that's when we finally surrender it all. Everything. And I know it's so hard. I know we like that instant gratification. We want that prayer to be answered, if not now, by tomorrow. God, I know you can do it by tomorrow. You know, we think that way. We think that way. The biggest illustration is the most recent thing that happened. And you know, a week ago, Charlie passed. There had to be hundreds of people, I believe. Maybe more. Maybe thousands. But I at least hundreds. With thousands of prayers going up on her behalf. Just hers. And I had an expected end. I was sure, I was so sure that God would bring her out. And I was so sure that it would be a testimony of, oh, such of magnitude proportions. I mean, it's just, it was going to be magnificent. And that was my expectation. And we prayed days, days. And I was to the point to where I was getting frustrated, not at God, but at time. And time wasn't going fast enough for her to be healed. And that's what we prayed for. But it didn't happen. Now you might think, well, that means God didn't hear your prayer. No, I believe he heard every one. I think it says in Revelation, somewhere in the Bible there, I think it's in Revelation, that he holds the tears and the prayers in a bowl and tears in a bottle. Everything that you've prayed and cried over and just cried out to God and lamented to him, there's a record of it. And so God keeps a record of the many times. And I'm just like what you said earlier. Sometimes I don't know how to pray. I go to God with something and I don't have the words. And I tell him, I'll even tell him that fact. Look, talk to God as if he's right there with you. He is. He's right there with you. Talk to him as a friend. Yes, there's times when you should reverence him and you know, call upon him with great reverence. Hallowed be his name, it says. But sometimes that's not what you need. Sometimes you want someone who's going to just put their arms around you to let you know it's going to be all right. And that's what you're looking for. And so the waiting is tough. The waiting is hard. But we have to give it to God. We have to surrender it to God. And if we can do it, it's hard to not, but if we can do it, not pick it up again and worry about it. Because one, if you worry about it, you're living in the in tomorrow and you're not living in the moment. Give it to God. Yes, we have to wait. Yes, for Joseph, it took, I think, over 13 years for him to get out of prison, maybe. Or at least when he was sold before he became great in the nation. Abraham went years after he heard God the first time. He went years before God ever spoke to him again. Went years. There's many people in the Old Testament. I could make a list and tell you that a lot of times they went years between moments when they interacted with either a prophet from God or God himself. Okay? They went very long periods of time. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us when life comes at us in a hard and sometimes a terrible way. It's not always on the hill, on the top of the hill, top of the mountain. I've learned my biggest lessons, I think, when I've been down in the valley. Sometimes I think I spend more time down in the valley than I do on top of the mountain. But in either case, whichever I happen to find myself in, and who knows what tomorrow is going to bring for me, whichever case the Lord brings me, it doesn't shake my faith. Because I still believe that even if he did nothing else for me, he's done it all. He has saved my soul. He has provided me a home in heaven. I have people on the other side that I am so eager to see. Yes, I got people on this side that I don't want to leave. So I'm like Paul, I'm betwixt two worlds, and which one I prefer, I don't know. The thing is, waiting for God to do something, because sometimes it feels like God is so far away from me. Other times it feels like, I don't know, especially when I go a long season when I don't even feel His Spirit. Maybe nobody has had that experience, I don't know, but maybe it's just me. But I've gone long periods to where I feel like God is silent. But I have to keep pressing on. I can't give up. Because I tell you what, my impatience, I know this is going to sound odd, but my impatience is very exhausting. Very exhausting. Because my expectation of God doing something and doing something right now and getting frustrated over it when it doesn't happen in the time frame that I want it to happen is exhausting. That's why I think he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Because I believe that if we were to wait on the Lord, on His time, no, it doesn't always agree with our time. The outcome may not be what we expected. Maybe a totally different outcome. But God knows what He's doing. And what I want to impart to you is to remind you that God knows what He's doing. I read it to you, I think it was in verse, what was it? Verse 28, when it said, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of His understanding. We do. And we have to wait upon Him, and we have to, like I said, just surrender. And that's what I want to get across to you tonight. This is not going to be a very long message. I just want you to surrender and know this. So when we think God does not see us, when we think God does not hear us, sometimes we feel like that. We feel like sometimes, you know what, God, I see you answering other people's prayers, but I don't see you touching mine. You know, so you get a little bit envious if you fall into that trap. You're not careful, you get a little bit envious about my issues. Your issues are being taken care of, but mine aren't. You know, each of us might think that at different times. So I've got my issues, my troubles, my hurts that I need God to move in. But I'll tell you something. When you walk away here tonight, I want you to know that your faith will be tested. It will. It will be tested. Was it Paul or Peter? Count it all joy through your tribulations, because what's he doing? He's refining you. It's more precious to him than gold. Your faith is. And so I'm not going to lose my faith. Even things that don't come out as I had hoped or planned or expected, I'm not going to lose my faith. I'm still going to trust in the living God. And our faith will be tested even more. Just think you went through one test and got through it. Don't mean there's not another one on its way. It's going to happen. So I want to leave you with this before we close. When the testing comes, will you be faithful to hang on to the Lord, regardless of what the test is? Like Job said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him and him only. Heavenly Father, these words that I have given, Lord, I pray that they help someone who's out there who needs to hear these words. And God, I pray that the waiting, even though it's so long, Lord, sometimes it feels so long. To you, it's only been moments. God time is so different than our time. And so, Lord, I pray in the name the glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would help each person within the sound of my voice, whether it be here in this place or on the recording, that God, that they will put their trust and their hopes and their dreams in you and lay them on your shoulders or cast them at your feet, as the scripture says. For you, Lord, are worthy and able to carry all these burdens. And so we give them to you, our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ. Amen.